Commissioner Weems is in studio joining us this morning, and we're going to concentrate on primarily a couple things, but we'll go through the other business that you dealt with, starting with an update by Paul Ottinger concerning the annexation of Powell's Brewing Company by the city. Is it a combination of between the city and the county that makes this happen, or was this just more of an update that he
victory tour, I'll call it. Thank you, and a thank you for the support the board has provided him historically since he started that out there. And of course, in those days, it was all county, and now you've seen the checkerboard of how the city annexes parcels and portions. So, just like going out here on by the distribution center, you know, first you're in the county, then you're in the city, then you're back in the county, and so. The city has annexed a portion of that area, including Powell's. So now he has to deal with the city fathers on various regulations and rules and permits and so forth. But he just wanted to stop by. He asked to be put on the agenda to say thank you for the support of his business and the faith that the county board historically has put in him to run a quality, upstanding establishment that was going to be a plus for the community and not be a onerous thing in the midst of suburban dwellers, and I think he has demonstrated that. So he just came in to say thanks for all the support getting his business going, and I've been out there a couple times over the last 3 or 4 or 5 years, and not a frequent flyer, but he runs a good show, and it's not intrusive to the neighborhood as I can see, and just kind of blends right in. So he was just stopping by to say thanks for all the help.
Good. You discussed and considered a storage container for the Lincoln County Predator Control Department. It will be located at the Noxious Weed Control Department. Probably not a lot of people listening even realize that Lincoln County has a Predator Control Department.
They probably don't. And as I say, it's one of two pilot programs within the state of Nebraska, Sheridan County being the other, who led the way, and then Lincoln County with my colleague Jerry Woodruff, we decided maybe we should take a hard look at this when USDA was becoming exorbitantly cost prohibitive for the minimum amount of service we were getting out of their predator control program over the years, which was north of $42,000. And so we looked at that and we framed it exactly like the noxious weed law, the statewide noxious weed law statute, and we adopted it in such a fashion that basically because predators, what Jerry calls the prairie rodent, the prairie dog, is basically invasive not only to your property but your neighbors, similar to the way noxious weeds are. If you don't take care of yours, your neighbors are going to suffer and have to mitigate.
They just dig tunnels all.
They just move
all
to,
over people's
land.
Just
pack up their bags and crawl under the fence and go. They don't even have to crawl. You know how that works.
Yep.
So that was the impetus for why we put the program in place. And so why is this important? Well, maybe not in the grand scheme of things, but to us, as far as being budget conscious, even though I was one of the promoters of the pilot program, I did not want it to become a money pit. And so my goal in life was that the $42,000 we were expending and getting just service for a handful of taxpayers be expanded exponentially, which it has, to probably 130 to 150 property owners in a beneficial way. And at the same time, become retain a budget conscious, budget sensitive value. And to date, I'll say that we've extrapolated numbers and raised some fees and so forth to recapture. Mm-hmm. And we're on track right now to have a net expense of $17,000 for the fiscal year. Well, and to when you look at the expansive impact in a positive way to property owners who cannot control these on their own because it takes specialized equipment, licensing that they don't have, restricted use chemicals. It's a real plus to the ag community, and the real benefit, Cordy, is just like noxious weed. I'm not only impacting the problem property, I'm impacting every citizen, every good steward that's next door that's spending hundreds of if not thousands of dollars year in, year out, to control that problem, because the mitigation requirements are greater because they've got a property neighbor that's not taking care of the problem. So that's why we saw this as something that could be of real value, and it's become so. So even though this is only a $6,950 expenditure for the predator control, every dollar, you know, has meaning to the bottom line budget. And so we just wanted to make sure we were putting some critical eyes on this and let the entire board know that, you know, even though this isn't a lot of money, we just want to make sure that you see that we're on track to keep this efficient. And this is a necessary, it's just a storage unit to keep chemicals out of harm's way and out of the weather and from theft or vandalism and so forth. So not a big thing, but anyway, that's in the bigger scope, Corey. That's why it was put on the agenda.
We'll skip down to 9 there. Discuss and consider authorizing the chair to sign the Lincoln County 2026 Community-Based Juvenile Service Aid Grant Award in special conditions. What's that about?
That's an annual program that Jana Schaefe with Community Connections coordinates, and Jana is just a tireless trooper on this kind of stuff and community outreach and juvenile mitigation programs for them, for, you know, keeping them out of trouble and mentoring and those things. And Jana is just a tremendous asset. And each year she coordinates this grant, and a lot of the funding is coming from the Nebraska Crime Commission. And it was a little iffy whether we were going to get any monies back with all the budget cutting and both federal and state level. And it was $116,000 and change to start with, and she got the entire amount approved. This was just the final technical process where we, you know, our chair signs off and starts the funding flow. And good news is the funding flow starts July 1st. So she's going to get those monies right up front. And those fund a lot of the outreach programs that they put into the schools and through other nonprofits that reach our youth and try to keep them on the right track or get them right on the back on the right track. And so it's very important to the juvenile services in general in the city of North Platte and beyond.
Okay. You made some appointments or considered reappointments for the Lincoln County Safety Committee.
Yeah, that's a little more housekeeping there too, but very important. Jason Schultz, who's our highway superintendent, is in his brief tenure has stepped up to serve on the safety committee for the county, and he's been a good leader on there and a good voice. So lots of good ideas. I sat in on a couple of meetings here this summer, spring, and Jason agreed to take a reappointment, and so we were glad we didn't have to voluntold him, as they say, as Jerry says. He actually said, okay, I'll do it. And in conjunction, too, longtime serving members on the employee group, representing the employee group, is Angie Forbes and Charlie Westcoat. And they're both great assets on that committee as well, and they always have original ideas and speak candidly, and that's what you want. So they all agreed to reappoint, so they made that easy for us.
Okay. Well, you saved the big items for the last, and the first, I'm sure a lot of people, perked up when they found out about Lincoln County was on a sanctuary county list illegal aliens. And we don't have to necessarily cover all the background of this, but you got an update on Lincoln County being taken off that list, right?
Yeah, our colleague Michaela Uller had led the charge to raise the awareness on this about 10 months ago or so, and scream bloody murder, which is what you have to do sometimes.
Yeah.
But, because of her voicing, issues with this with our state representative, Senator Jacobson and others, raised that awareness, which is a really good thing. In essence, what's going on here, Corey, is, unfortunately, ICE is taking really bad information from nonprofits that I consider nefarious organizations that have ulterior motives that are not good for this country. And they want to promote the idea that, oh, see all these counties are, you know, sanctuary. Well, that's a lot of BS, because essentially their first step in just doing a flyover and saying, oh, I think this county's sanctuary because they don't incarcerate anyone. Well, that's because they don't have an active jail. And anybody with a brain in their head would further research this, would understand all that. And so I think now
they'll ship you to a place that does have a jail.
Exactly. They've all made that clear. Yeah. Well, anyway, so you've got 500 plus counties that are still, you know, getting, a bad reputation, so to speak. And
yeah.
I just took some really bad information and didn't ask the right people. Like, can we pick up the phone and call some of these sheriffs? And oh no, it'd be too easy. But the good news is, out of the bad, is that now you've got governors going, wait a minute, I know the sheriff in Logan County and Thomas County and Grant County, and I know darn good and well they wouldn't proclaim themselves a sanctuary county. So that's going to be the plus side of this. And so you've got the pressure at the right level. You know, when local people squawk, we don't get near as much attention. But when you start getting congressional delegations and governors that are in the same flavor as our administration, and they've got a way to make somebody answer the phone. And they say, Mr. President, would you please inform your staff that this is all bogus?
Yeah.
So that's good. So
at least we got a staff now that will listen
to common sense. So I think... that effort's, you know, it's bore fruit, and I think it's just going to get better as time goes on. But now the proper light has been shed on it to realize that, wait a minute, you know, we got to take this with a grain of salt. Why do you believe these sources when they weren't credible to begin with?
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy what, you know, well, it's on Trashbook, so it must be right.
That kind
of nonsense.
Yeah, my experience tells me there's a lot of gullible people in this world.
Yeah, unfortunately, never ending.
And then the last item, discuss and consider additional funding for the Platte Valley Weed Management Area for helicopter/airboat spraying of Phragmites on the North and South Platte Rivers. So you're going to have to, for our listener, you explained it well before we went on, but for our listeners.
Yeah, and I ran out of oxygen now, so you're going to make me do it again.
Yeah, I'm going to give you another gut punch here and make you explain it again.
Okay, well, it's been officially, I think the Platte Valley Weed Management Area was established about 21 years ago. And way, way back before that, when I was running the weed district here, we recognized Phragmites as a brand new invasive species in Nebraska's waterways. And it's a monoculture. It impacts waterways, I would say, exponentially greater in a negative way than, say, musk thistle does in a pasture setting. And essentially what went on about a little over 20 years ago was these counties that have such a great presence of waterways, primarily being the Platte River system, Lincoln, Keith County, Dawson, Buffalo, on down the line, all the way to the Platte River, recognized that they needed a concerted effort. And, no individual county had the funding to do this. So fortunately, at that point in time, the federal USDA, and in conjunction with, I believe, I'm not sure if Corps of Engineers was the right agency, but whomever, and Nebraska's Department of Agriculture, and the individual counties, their noxious weed control programs, all collaborated to a concerted program, and thus was born one of the mechanisms to get these things coordinated was the Platte Valley Weed Management. And I can't name you all the counties that ran it, but I can tell you that virtually everybody, probably from York County West, I think, is probably involved in it.
Just along the Platte River,
basically. That's because that's the primary invasive problem. And essentially what's gone on is we've been fortunate that they have funded that at the federal and state level. And now that this is what we were grumbling about yesterday is another unfunded mandate, unintended. But nevertheless, it's still, it's going to befall the counties to step in and make sure we don't walk backwards on this program, because you can't quit mitigation programs on Phragmites in any river system. Yep. They'll just eat you alive,
yep,
consume all your water. Gee, this is water the irrigators need. This is water we need to send to Kansas, by yep the way, since we're all real pleased with that program.
Yeah.
And so this is a real big thing that just flies under the radar. The legislature just said, oh, gee, let's balance our budget. We're going to do such a great job. Let's take $400,000 away from the Department of Ag. And that, if you look at where that went, it went to a lot of the funding for this mitigation for Phragmites. So our leadership at the Noxious Weed Office gave us a few facts and figures yesterday. And they said, you know, in the 15-plus years that they participated in this, we've benefited over $1 million worth of treatment expense that we couldn't absorb. And we were paying, at that time, I think, a $400 a year membership. And now, in one fell swoop, Lincoln County and everyone else impacted by this budget cut is going to have to come up with, and they're figuring based on extrapolated numbers as far as, you know, proration of the expense, maybe $10,000 to $15,000 a county to carve into their budget somewhere to keep this program alive and going. And so, again, a lot of heartburn for us because, you know, they collect their tongues at us and say, well, those county boards, they spend money like drunken sailors. And mm-hmm and guess what? This is a $10,000 minimum I'm projecting that we're going to have to figure out a way to find just because we can't go backwards on such a critical program.
You're going to have to take it out of something else.
We'll have to take it out of something else. I don't know. We could take it out of...
Or a combination of different things that you had allotted
money. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, you think, well, $10,000 to your budget's no big deal, but $10,000 begets another $10,000, begets $100,000, pretty soon you're talking about real money, right? Mm-hmm. As the guy used to say, about $1 billion. A billion here and a billion there, and pretty soon you got a lot of money.
It adds
right?
up. Yeah,
it adds up. So to us, the way we look at budgets, every dollar is important. So we don't take this lightly, but we're not going to walk away from it. I think the sense of the appetite for the board I got yesterday was everybody recognizes we can't go backwards on this. We're going to step up and do our portion. But what we're going to do is we're going to hedge our bet a little bit, Corey, and that is we'll carve out the monies and we'll park it in the new budget because we're up against a budget end here and a new one starting.
Mm-hmm.
And so what'll happen is we'll carve it out and we'll say, okay, we've set this money aside, provided we see that it's going to be a viable program and all these other counties step up to the plate and we make it viable. We're not just going to simply send them $10,000 and then hope and pray everybody else does the same. So we're going to sit there.
Want the commitment
from all
the other counties.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm not a cynic on it, but I'm just being, you know, financially, budget-wise, you know, responsible in my impetus to make this available, but not just totally committed without a joint agreement that everybody's going to do it. I think they will. I think we've got county boards that understand the value of this. Almost all of them are involved in agriculture. Their counties are heavily agriculture. If they're not a producer themselves, they're directly impacted by it. Of course, I don't think anybody's going to look at this and go, "Oh, well, we don't need to worry about phragmite control." And unfortunately, that's the way the state legislature looked at it. Apparently, they just glazed over it and went on. But that's what happens when you. You won't put 60 cents a pack tax back on cigarettes and some things like that because somebody lobbied against it.
The question that comes to mind is who's in charge of how often and the equipment, the helicopter and the airboats that have to go up to spray for phragmites?
Well, they have their own board, and that consists of people not only at the state Department of Ag, also county board. Weed superintendents are on that board, so it's a collaborative
between the two,
right? So
okay.
The people with skin in the game, so to speak, okay, they have a voice. They're right there front and center.
So do they base it just on observation? I mean, do they actually go down by the river
and scout an area? They've been at it long enough now that
we can see evidence.
Yeah,
this is really,
I mean, I, you know, from my days running this weed district, I could tell you how many acres were impacted by leafy spurge, for example, which was the scourge of the earth, you know, 35 years ago, and the new bad guy on the block, and, you know, it came in with various hay products from the Dakotas, which yeah. way back came from Eastern Europe, but that's another story.
Yeah.
But in this particular situation, they've had the problem long enough that virtually every county that's on the ball, and we've got a lot of them that are, they can tell you how many acres are impacted in the waterways with Phragmites.
Okay. Like
every one of them, you could probably pick up the phone and call any weed superintendent out here and say, can you look up your chart and tell me how many acres are impacted?
That's good,
and
because
can tell you.
So we don't have to waste the whatever they put on them. We know where to go, the acres that are affected.
Right.
Just concentrate on
the only challenge we have is because of, you know, water runs from Nebraska west to east, and that's something just like the sun coming up in the east, it always happens, right?
Yep.
So they typically start on the east end and work their way west in the waterway. So the only problem we ever have is if they have, and they always have limited funding, but weather has such an impact on it. You know, is the weather conducive in the fall of the year so we can fly these waterways as far as Keith County, for example?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they run out of time in good weather and funding, and maybe one or all of those. So there's a combination.
Hmm.
So that's the only, I guess, being on the west end.
Just like everything that happens
that's right.
originates in eastern Nebraska.
They
think that they're going to put themselves first above
well,
everybody
it does,
else,
but, yeah. but I'm not going to be critical of that, because it just makes good sense that you work upstream. You know, you don't go upstream down, you go downstream up. And because it started on the east end, you know, the Missouri system and working its way out into outstate Nebraska. So as you might imagine, that, you know, exponentially it's a greater infestation if you get into Buffalo County versus
right.
Lincoln. So
for sure.
Yeah.
Well, you explained that well, and I think people have a much better understanding of there what you're dealing with. Anything else out of the meeting yesterday that you'd like to pass along to our listeners?
Well, perusing the agenda, we had a lot of things, but really nothing really jumps out. I guess, Corey, the all the usual stuff, you know, Board of Equalization,
mm-hmm.
we really didn't have anything to talk about yesterday, but the county has their June meetings in Kearney starting, let's see, what is today? This is Tuesday, Wednesday, so starting tomorrow and Thursday we have mm-hmm. various meetings, and you know, we've got all the row officials involved in their particular groups that have meetings about, you know, updates on rules and regs and stuff. And then Board of Equalization will be a workshop in and of itself that we county board members attend. And we'll get an opportunity to have an audience with the Tax Equalization Regulatory Commissioners. They'll be in Kearney to speak to us directly.
Oh, okay.
So we can beat them over the head about how they make us look like we're bad people when they send out nasty letters to our assessor from Lincoln and say, hey, by the way, you're out of compliance. Raise your property tax 20%, or your value, I shouldn't say, not your property tax. And now I'm talking like somebody that's going off the rails there. But raise your evaluation, and that's the thing that we constantly fight as far as people say, well, you just raised my taxes. No, unfortunately, we did not. But the assessor did what was told to them by the Department of Revenue in Lincoln and said, your value is out of compliance. So raise it by 15 points or 20 points, which is 15% or 20 whatever. That does not mean that your county board's going to turn around and go, oh, gee, we're going to leave the levy where it is so that you have to eat another 10% or 15% tax value or 5 or whatever, how it computes. But so they have to understand that don't have a stroke when you get these pink cards. It's, you know, my goodness, my house went up 40 grand.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean the county's going to ask for any more, or the city, or, you know, the school district, which is, you know, we all know school districts it takes a lot of money to run one.
Yep.
And so in a nutshell, you know, you won't see necessarily any significant changes to tax asking because valuations went up. They're two different
right.
things, levy and valuation.
Right.
So the county board is very cognizant of keeping the levy down, and that's going to continue no matter what where they raise our property values, because I'm subject to that myself. You know, we have a farm and ranch operation, and we have 1,000 acres there, and I don't like seeing that number go up.
Nope.
But nevertheless, Corey, people need to understand, take a deep breath. The valuation is one thing. The taxation level is something totally different and unique. So keep an eye on that.
Okay. Lincoln County Commissioner Kent Weems has been our guest on the program this morning. The Board of Commissioners meet every Monday, except for holidays like last week. Normally on Monday mornings, 9 a.m. at the Lincoln County Courthouse in the Commissioner's Room. Thank you very much, Kent.
Thanks, Corey. Appreciate it.
We'll take a break and be back to talk tourism with Lisa Burke as Mugs in the Morning continues.